the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins. I'm here to meet your fate.
He's right.
Then one ironclad crow sends the first guard to smother.
Try my new electro sun ray.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Well, folks, lost track of time there for a split second, but I'm here. We're here to do a show. This is the The What Are You Reading comic book show. We are live here on emradio.com. And I am joined by Jordan Cobb.
Hello. What people don't know, we are actually live at the red carpet for the Academy Awards tonight.
Oh, we are? Okay.
No, we are.
That's tonight.
Don't lie to people. You know exactly where we are. Michael Keaton just walked past us. It was great.
Don't you know I'm boycotting?
Right. Hashtag Oscar so white. Well, you know what's not so white? Randy and Radio. We got a diverse crew here. So suck it. Academy of Motion Pictures and Science and Arts and all that. Whatever the whole thing means.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Like Jordan said, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Which we don't know.
I'm gonna sip my soda.
So, how have you been?
I'm good. Been a long damn week. My mom had her birthday this week and then retired at the end of the week.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, well, it was her birthday was on Wednesday, and she retired from 30-plus years of service at Regions Bank on Friday.
She's old enough to retire?
Yeah.
I thought you had a young mom. Like, you know, I thought she was only like...
She felt like it was about time to leave, and plus she wants to spend more time with our nephew, you know, with my nephew, her grandson, you know, so she's going to lounge around the house, and she's going to make it up to Conway, where my brother, sister-in-law, and nephew live to visit and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. God, I hope you give Joan Rivers zombie granny porn by regards at the... No, I'm not doing that, Stanley.
Don't listen to Stanley. He's stuck on he's stuck on stupid, okay?
He's stuck on a lot of things. I fear for Stanley. I'm afraid he's on the drugs.
I think he needs a shot, but that's just, you know, that's another story.
I think he needs to be saved. I think he needs Satan to save his life.
He needs Jesus.
He needs Lord God Doom.
Doom has been deposed. You keep up, Jordan.
I am a true believer.
Keep up. Doom is
I am never
Doom
turning my back on the Lord.
Okay, keep up. Keep up with what's going on in the universe. So, we're going to talk some comic books. We're going to do some TV talk and some news and... Yeah. All that fun stuff.
Yeah, we got tons of things planned.
And we can take your calls on Skype, so let them know how they can join us.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was just chatting up with Rachel McAdams. Man, this is a star-studded event. Yes, you can join us in a couple of ways. We used to have many, but not so much. But you can still join us live and on the air and have some fun. Sorry if I had a burp coming on. Never mind. So you can join us on Skype. Just call and or add the contact. Oh, there it is. SilverSurfer_forever. Again, SilverSurfer_forever, and that's all lowercase to help your search. Of course, you can join me, Stanley Kubrick, and plenty of others, and type out your thoughts and questions and whatnot in the chat room at www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live. It is also at www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live that you can listen to us live on the air as you chat. And if you can't listen to us live, well, that sucks, because you're going to miss out on all the, you know, unaired fun and whatnot and the hilarity that comes with a live show. But you can listen to us on a loop. Every show that airs on, that goes live on AM Radio, will play on a loop all, you know, all week until their new episode comes on and so forth. But if you can't even do that, I understand. You're busy. I'm busy. We live in a hectic world. We gotta like keep hustling, baby. So you can listen to us in a number of ways at your own time, of your own convenience. There's Stitcher Internet Radio. There is Podbean. We're on Blog Talk Radio, and of course, the almighty iTunes. Open up iTunes today and search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the podcasting section. Subscribe, and while you're there, rate us 5 stars and leave a review. Be it of this show, multiple shows, all the shows, or just the network itself. It'd really help us out a lot. And since I keep forgetting to add this into the opening, there is also the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show Facebook page. Just search for What Are You Reading Comic Book Show on Facebook and like the page, because we update it daily with all the news that we discuss and anything interesting that we like to post on there. You can even post on there, start a conversation with me and or Surfer. We're always happy to do that. So go by the
We have a group page too.
Yes. You want to give that out, since I don't know too much about that?
It's the fans of the What Are You Reading comic book show and Unnecessary Movie Review. So if you want to post stuff for other people to see, you just join that group and you can share. It's easier to share stuff with that than it is with the like page. But with the like page, we do keep you up to date with the news.
We very much do. So, and we do have some news. Deadpool made a whole lot more money.
No, you're taking my job.
I'm leading you in. I'm leading you in. I want to talk to Ryan Reynolds while you do this. Hey, man, what's up?
Well, as far as box office goes, yes. For the third weekend in a row, Deadpool is number one at the box office. Brought in another $31.5 million. It's 3 week total. It's now up to $285 million. And worldwide is up to $609 million. Who'da thunk it?
Man, Ryan Reynolds just told me, man, he is still amazed by this. He's a girl. All right, you got to go on.
And we appreciate the fact that it beat out that fucking Gods of Egypt.
Yeah, Gods of Egypt, which is bombing so fucking hard.
Kung Fu Panda came in third place with another $9 million. Its domestic total is up to $128 million for the fat panda who fights. And the last relevant movie is Star Wars is out of the top 10 down to 11th place with $3 million this week.
Why won't more people go see this movie? It needs to make its budget back.
I know. I mean, it's only made $928 million, so.
I want a sequel, people. Will you please give this movie a chance?
Okay, did we just...
This is sad. When good independent cinema can't find an audience that rightfully deserves that. I'm ashamed of you, America. Not just because of that, also Trump. But mainly Star. But yeah, mainly Trump.
Oh, that's right. Super Tuesday this week.
I'm about to drink a lot of whiskey.
Don't you get to vote this Tuesday?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm voting again. Yeah, and I, at this point, look.
You still in the we don't talk politics, Norman.
I know, but at this point, I'll vote for a the Batmobile toy I have on my shelf before Donald Trump.
You feeling the burn?
I am feeling the burn. You damn right.
I know you want to talk about some TV.
Yeah.
Now, Jordan, I'm going to ask you to remain silent because I know you're bursting at the seams. And you're going to wait until I'm done talking. And then you can explode like you want to. Cause I know
sure.
I know that's what you want to do.
Just stop at the bit. Just go. All
right. We're going to start with The Flash.
That was
the show of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And last time we checked in with Flash, the heroes from Earth 1 made it back from Earth 2. That's Flash, Cisco, Harrison Wells, and his daughter, Jessie. And then, of course, we lost Jay Garrick back through the breach.
Yeah.
Might be dead.
Oh, that dastardly Zoom.
And so the gang decides that, you know, they're going to try to push on, try not to think about it, try to talk about the experience over on Earth 2. When John Diggle and his wife from the Arrow shows up and says, hey, you got to deal with this King Shark problem. And King Shark showed up early in the season for like 5 seconds.
Like at best 30 seconds. Right.
But really didn't get an episode until now. So, of course, they had to stop him. And the effects on King Shark was pretty good for a TV show, you know?
Yeah, I was honestly amazed at the level of detail and work that went on to King Shark.
I told you not to talk, but okay, I know you're excited. Let me finish, because let me get through this. And once they took care of that, we got our little our teaser, because we got to wait a month before the show comes back on. And we finally got to see who Zoom is, okay? It's been speculation of who Zoom was from Earth 2, whether he was Barry Allen from Earth 2, whether he,
that's wrong.
Whether he was the father from Earth 2, he was many people. But it turns out he's Hunter Zolomon.
Okay. Here's the thing. We don't know who the hell is.
He's Hunter Zolomon. That's okay, his name.
But Jay on Earth 1 is Hunter Zolomon.
Well,
could this be Earth 3? Earth 4?
No. I'm going to give you my theories.
All right.
But what I haven't said is, it turns out Hunter Zolomon, Zolomon. When he shows his face, he looks just like Jay Garrick. So you're wondering, wow, has Jay Garrick been lying to the crew all this time? And what do you think before I give you?
All right, here's the thing. I don't do fan theories anymore because they've gotten fucking stupid and ridiculous.
But the thing I'm about to tell you, they have laid out the clues. So go ahead.
All right, well, let me say, again. They didn't say a name. And yes, Hunter Zolomon in DC Comics. Jesus, let's get through this. Hunter Z, let's just go with that right now. Hunter Z.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
She's talking about me talking. In DC Comics is Zoom. And he's been shown on the Flash TV show. Like, he's the Earth. One, our Earth, like Jay Garrick. Now, yes, that person looks like Jay Garrick, and people are assuming this is a multiple Jay Garrick or Hunter Z sort of thing, since they're also saying the man in the mask is also some variation of that, meaning that's Teddy Shears as well, who the actor playing Jay Garrick. Now, I'll say I didn't see it coming, because, again, I don't like to pay attention to fan theories. I just want to be surprised. I want to go. Some theories are okay to listen to. It's like, okay, that's interesting. But some are way too fucking stupid, if I'm being honest. And ridiculous. That is a stretch. So, I'm willing to... I don't even want to think on this. I just want to go. And what sucks is that this is the last episode for an entire month. But it is a great way to leave things out. I was very much surprised, and I'm willing to see where it goes. As for the episode itself, pretty damn good. And I didn't much care for the Wally stuff because I did not like how that writing went, but it was okay, fine. I much more enjoyed the repercussions of Earth 2. Like, you know, what happened with Barry specifically is, like, sort of going to, like, really mess with him, and so it's understandable how he sort of went a bit Oliver Queen, in this episode.
Okay.
So, and the Cisco Caitlin stuff was very nice.
Yeah. Let me get to.
All right. What's your theory?
All right. Now let's go back for some episodes ago, right? When they was coming up with the velocity formula, and Harrison Wells came up with velocity 6. And was going to give it to Barry to make him faster. And Jay was adamant, no, he cannot take that stuff. That stuff is no good. And then he took some to save Harrison Wells' life. Well, I watched the last two episodes prior to this one with King Shark. So Jay says he hasn't been honest that he took the formula before. Right, like he was obsessed with getting faster, and he took the why am I blanking on the name of the formula?
Velocity.
Yeah, he took the velocity 6, okay, which is why he was like adamant against Flash taking it. So I'm thinking he took the velocity 6.
Yeah,
it split him in two.
Okay, I did hear this theory. Like, it's sort of a psychological thing with the id and the ego, the super ego, all that.
Now, Jay Garrick, that's behind the mask, who we believe is the real Jay Garrick, may not look like the Jay Garrick we've seen all this time. Now, is it possible he got split into three? I don't know. But the Jay Garrick that was on Earth 1 wasn't Zoom in disguise. He honestly thinks he's a good guy. I believe that. But he may or may not have known that Zoom is also a copy or a split of himself. Because Zoom knows that. And the question is, do you think he killed Jay at the end of the episode?
He seems kind of dead. I mean, he wasn't moving. He vibrated.
Just because he wasn't moving.
He vibrated his hand right through his chest.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he necessarily killed him.
I think it was near his heart.
I understand it, but that he may have not killed him. Now, sometimes in the cartoons and in the comic books, they do the whole phasing through the body, but they don't kill.
I know that.
Now, on the TV show, it seems like every time somebody does that, like I've seen Flash cartoons where he's done it to people and they just, you know, fell over being like, because their body is disrupted, but they didn't die from it. But in the TV show, it seems like everybody who's had their hands stuck, you know, vibrated with a hand, yeah, died.
No, I'm aware of what you're talking about. Right. I've seen the same thing in the comics and cartoons as well.
But he may not be dead. And he may not be able to die because he is part of this whole. Now, of course, the man in the mask, he seemed fucking freaked out when he dropped the body of Jay Garrick.
Yeah.
And, of course, he takes off his mask and we see it's a guy that looks like Jay Garrick. But the producers have said it is Hunter Zolomon.
Where did you read this?
I've been reading it all over the internet.
All right, could you link me to what you read?
You know, CBR had an article and IGN had an article.
Were they talking to like Andrew Kreisberg?
Yes, they talked to producers.
Okay, so like the big man in charge himself.
Correct.
All right, well, if it's from Kreisberg, then I'd buy it.
Right, so... So, like I said, we have to find out whether or not the Jay Garrick in the mask looks like the Jay Garrick we've seen, or he's someone completely different. Now, of course, everybody thought it might have been Barry's father from Earth 2, which we have not, they did not show, and we have not seen Barry's father but once or twice this season. Now Barry's father and mother are together and alive, so on Earth 2.
Mm-hmm. I thought I was
suspicious when Jay hovered around the breach after throwing the device in the closet. Like, that made no sense to me that he would just...
Again, sometimes you just gotta make some people dumb to move your story along.
And it wasn't like where Reverse Flash was doing the speed mirage. We know that. It can't be that good. You can do the speed mirage if you're within a close proximity, but not to where you got a copy of yourself on a separate plane of existence walking around by itself. I'm not buying that. Now, of course, we need to get to more speedsters, because...
Yeah, and again, the split fear you've heard, I heard it from a friend this week. It's like, he saw it somewhere else, like, again, like, you know, the whole ego, super ego thing. So, I'm willing to listen to that. Again, that's the one theory that I don't completely hate. That's the one theory I think is actually fascinating. And could lead to some great character depth and exploration. So, that, again, I thought the episode was pretty good. What were the, overall thoughts? What did you think? Sure.
You know, looking back at the Earth 2 episodes, it does look, you look at Zoom, he does look the same height and build as Jay Garrett.
Yes.
So, I don't know if he was the guy in that suit the whole time, or it was convenient enough for these episodes.
Or maybe it could have been like Teddy Sears' stand-in or stunt double, possibly.
No, I'm just saying, like, they could have just had somebody in the suit, but now that they needed to reveal who's in the suit, you know, he wore it the last couple episodes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, overall thoughts on King Shark, like the whole episode.
I thought they did a great job with King Shark for a television show. I mean,
yeah,
he looked nice. Menacing. The effect wasn't bad.
Nice little appearance by the Diggles.
Yeah, the Diggs showed up, and we got confirmation that Mrs. Day is in charge of Argus now, which. Kind of thought that was going to happen once Amanda Waller
got popped off.
Yeah. So somebody has to take over. Of course, the question is she going to run Argus the way Amanda Waller ran it, or is she going to run it?
Oh, she's going to. Oh, no. I could tell already from this episode she's going to run it very much differently because she mentioned that Waller was trying to find these metahumans and use them to her own benefit and sort of weaponize Lays. Lila. You know, but defiantly stated, I'm not about that.
Yeah, just because she said it doesn't mean anything. Lila was on board with the way Amanda Waller did things for a good while.
So. Yeah, but she ain't fully, like, with Waller too much.
Okay.
So I expect Argus to be ran a very different way than what Amanda Waller was doing. Lila Michaels, the change we need right now.
Now, since we are on the Flash, let's jump over to Arrow.
Okay, let's go to Arrow.
Which, we had Damian Dark kidnap Oliver's illegitimate bastard child, William.
What do you do to you? Why you gotta call him a bastard?
Because that's what he is.
I think he's good at heart.
Man. That's the biblical term, bastard, isn't it?
Joke's over. Anyway.
And so, of course, he tries to use that as leverage to get Oliver to drop out of the mayoral race because he knows that he needs whoever's in charge of Star City in order for his plans to go forward. And so, William's mother shows up wanting to know where her son is. And he reveals to him, well, yes, I'm the Arrow. We're going to get him back. So, of course, they want help because they know Damian Dark deals with magic. So they bring in Vixen. A live-action Vixen. Now, I don't know if you have CW Seed or not. But if you go on CW Seed, there is a 6-part animated Vixen series.
It rounds up to about 30 minutes total.
And, you know, it's her getting her powers and her meeting the Flash and the Arrow and then deciding, I'm going to go out and help people. So,
yeah, played by the same voice actress, Megalyn Ichikunwoke. And I apologize for absolutely butchering that fucking last name.
So they bring her in to find the boy because she has magical properties, and they go on a search. They have a problem finding this child, but eventually they do get the child back, and they also bring a blow to Damian Dark because they discover, well, maybe we should take away what gives him his powers, which is a magical totem. And once they get that, they're able to get the child back. They're able to stop Damian Dark for now. And you think it's a happy ending, but of course, it's never that simple with Arrow. Because Felicity, she's kind of cross over the fact that Oliver's had this child and didn't let her know and didn't clue her in. So now she's feeling like that. How can she marry this motherfucker? She's not totally honest with me.
Very true. And, you go, girl.
To a point where she's been in a wheelchair for the last few episodes. She got the fuck up and walked out.
Well, thanks to a biomechanical implant from Curtis.
Yeah.
So she could be able to like walk on her wedding day, but be like, bitch, I'm walking out on you.
And in the flashback area, of course, whichever's going on the island, they're getting closer to whatever.
Yeah, and holy hell, can I say, the flashbacks actually got interesting this week for the first time ever since Constantine's episode.
So do you think they're going to find the totem that Damian Duck's been using all this time?
I believe so. I think that's what it could be leading to. Although, at this point, I somewhat kind of don't care because these flashbacks have sucked.
Well, because you know,
except for Constantine's episode, but that's because Matt Ryan's like a very
okay.
Because
normally, with the flashback, what's going on in the past has helped. Like, you see Oliver become what he is today.
It relates to what's going on right now.
It like the first two seasons, everything he was going through made him the fighter he is. But this season, it's stuff going on the island. But he's not getting it. Like, you don't see his progression as heading towards becoming the Arrow.
I may not have been the biggest fan of the flashbacks last season, but at least that cohesively in some way had some connection to the story that went on. This has nothing. And again, the only way it worked was when Constantine was on, because at least that showed that at least helped link into what was going on in the present and how, you know, Constantine was gonna need to come in and whatnot. This, I don't care. This villain is that the island villain is boring. And Conklin was such a nothing character. I was actually kind of glad when he got killed off last week.
Constantine is in hell right now, so.
Literally in hell. Yeah, yes. That was a great one-off joke that I really liked. Now, the comment on this episode, I really like Megan's performance because I thought, okay, she was good in the web series. She was really good at the voice acting. Can that translate? She is still fantastic to me. I loved her in this episode.
The thing they needed to translate was the actual effects of her powers.
They were
manifesting
great.
Themselves, you know, because like if you've seen her in the cartoons and you've seen her in the comics, when her totem gives her animal powers, like if she wants to run real fast like a cheetah, like you'll see a cheetah spirit form around her and she's off to the races. She wants to get strong, she'll pick an animal that's real strong.
Yeah, and Again, those effects were actually really damn good.
Now, do you think it could translate like to her own television show?
I don't know. Maybe.
Like, maybe. If you think they could pull off those effects for a whole season? That's the question.
A whole 23, maybe a 13 episode season. I'm not sure about 23. But then again, you know, Flash is doing that well. The super speed effects and Supergirl's killing it with flying and whatnot. So hey, maybe. I mean,
I need you to keep everybody entertained for like a minute. I'll be right back.
I mean, a Vixen show. Okay, a Vixen show would be pretty cool. I do love the character of Vixen. She's fantastic. I absolutely love her. But her as a show lead, I'm not too sure, but hey, you know, if it could work, it could work. And Stanley, oh yeah, you want to say hissy fits. Dude, you keep pushing Shannara Chronicles on me. I told you I'd watch it. I need to find personal time to try and watch it. The more you keep aggressive, the more you keep bringing it up, the more I'm going to feel less interested out of spite, because seriously, dude, stop pushing. You've already made the sale. All right? Don't. Just stop. I will let you know when I have watched that damn show. All right? Man. Oh, Kevin Spacey, where are you? You're a big fan? Oh, that's great to hear. Man, hey, good. Have fun there. Yeah, man, the Oscar red carpet is amazing, you guys. It is so fantastic. There's so many pretty people. A lot of white people, sadly. A lot of whiteies. But, we're going to do fine. We're going to do fine. Oh, emo cowboy, that's a rip. Call me whatever the fuck you want, Stanley. I don't give a shit. I mean, whatever. I mean, hey, Surfer, you just missed Kevin Spacey coming by our table. Man, it was great.
You still talking?
Yeah, fuck you.
Okay, sorry.
Hey, Bradley Cooper, what's up, man? Yeah, alright, have fun in there.
Legends of Tomorrow. This show's been getting better.
Yeah. I agree. Especially these past two episodes, I feel like the show's really starting to find its footing now.
The gang gets stranded in Star City in the year, what was it, 2046?
Correct!
And they're wondering why everything has even gotten worse than ever before. Everything looks shit. Look, roving gangs, and then the Arrow shows up, the Green Arrow, but it's not Oliver Queen, it is Connor Hawk.
Connor Hawk, who is not Oliver Queen's son.
Yes, he's not Oliver Queen's son. He was John Diggle's son.
John Diggle Jr.
And he's taking up the mantle, and turns out because of our time traveling friends, certain characters wasn't there for Uprising, and Slade Wilson Jr. took over.
Yeah, well, again, this is a direct continuation of last week when they were attacked by Kronos and they were forced to crash land in, you know, somewhere. It just happened to be this shit show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, again, honestly, again, this show's been slowly but surely finding its footing.
Now, and the one criticism I'll give the show is, the things that are happening doesn't seem like it's leading up to stopping
Vandal Savage.
Vandal Savage, yes. It's like this. Look, it's entertaining, but it just seems like one is stumbling through time. They don't know what they're doing. You know, half the show is, you know, dealing with people and their problems, because you got Heatwave and Captain Cold. You know, they want to be criminals, and I can't blame them. That's what the fuck they are. Everybody knew they're criminals, and they're starting to have a little conflict between each other. But I think they have conflict all the time between those two. I mean, like,
well, yeah. I mean, What I did like about this episode is the chemistry, continued chemistry between Wentworth Miller's Captain Cold and Dominic Purcell's Heatwave. Because, again, they have past experience via Prison Break.
And yeah, it was funny he did that line a week ago. It was like, yeah, this is my first Prison Break.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, hint, hint.
You know they're supposed to be bringing Prison Break back.
Yeah, I do.
I never got into that show.
Yeah, neither could I. I liked the actor. Although, hey, we can thank Prison Break for a good portion of actors that have appeared on Flash and Arrow. So,
yeah, it does seem like it's the same. Is it the same producer?
Well, and Spartacus as well. Like, I feel like these. There's a Venn diagram of Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, Spartacus on Stars, and Prison Break.
Mm-hmm. Is it the same producers?
No. There could be some producers, but not, like, entirely. So.
And, of course, you know.
I like the conflict here because it's understandable. Like, Captain Cold isn't as, like, much a criminal per se, as he's still a criminal. Like, he'll admit, I'm a thief. I'm a steal shit. But, you know, he does have a moral code. Captain Cold has a moral code about him.
Now, of course, when you're traveling through time and you're on this big ship, and the men ratio to women is limited.
Real sausage fest.
Yeah, you know, the hot women on there, you know, everybody starts fighting over them. And started getting that because everybody wants the piece of Kendra Saunders, who is Hawk Girl.
Uh-huh.
Jefferson Jackson, who's part of Firestorm, likes her. And then all of a sudden, Ray Palmer likes her. So, but she's like, she ain't having it. She ain't trying to get all lovey-dovey. Besides, Cisco's waiting for her anyway, so.
But Carter Hall.
Yeah, fuck him.
I'm sorry. Yeah, fuck the dude that's destined to be with her over every time period.
Yeah, and got to kill 206 times. Yeah, see? The only time she
you got to kill him a lot to get him away from. Listen, that's dedication.
Listen, maybe if they stayed away from each other, then Vandal Savage couldn't find them and kill them. Maybe. But they come together, and then he's able to find them, so.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
But it's so good, I got followed for 4,000 years.
Supergirl.
Yeah, hold on. Okay, I just wanted to say about the episode. It was a good episode. I really liked it. Like, I like both plots, but I'll say the stuff on the ship, the whole love thing, lacking comparison to seeing, you know, Stephen Amell finally put on that damn goatee.
Yeah, we got the goatee Oliver Queen that's from the comic book.
You know, and one arm from Dark Knight Returns. It was a really good episode. I really liked it. There was a lot going on that was so much to enjoy. I loved it. It was great.
What was you saying about Supergirl?
Now we're on Supergirl.
It was a good episode, nothing spectacular. Apparently, yeah. One of the jailers from the
Master Jailer,
he's called. From the prison that the Kryptonians used. Wanted to capture all the escape prisoners from his prison because he watched a lot of people die from the prison break. So, and he was killing them off because he has no way of keeping them. And so Supergirl and the DOA or DO or D, what is it called?
The DEO, the Department of Extraterrestrial Operations.
Yeah, they had to stop her. So it was just, you know, it was a filler episode, basically.
It was a fine episode. I'll admit, after the stellar, A to A minus, episodes we had gotten after a while, it was like, you're bound to have, just a fine episode, and that's what we got. it was good. I think my favorite thing being the direction, you know, since this episode is directed by Punisher Warzone director Lexi Alexander. It was pretty good. I mean, Master Jailer was always just an okay sort of villain to me.
He's a Superman villain, right?
Yeah, he's a Superman villain. Although, of course, he's faced across so many different super people, you know, Superman's family and whatnot. It's Master Jailer was always just excuse me. Master Jailer was just okay. I mean, Kara here I still liked. I liked the more. Here's the thing. I liked the Kara stuff more than I did the Supergirl stuff, because her dealing with the addition of Saban Smith, a.k.a. Silver Banshee, played by Robbie Amell's wife, was pretty fun. I like Peter Facinelli's Maxwell Lord still.
Is always part of you.
And what the hell is that?
Nothing. Go ahead. Continue.
All right. And I believe that the whole thing between Kara and John is pretty good. Especially with the drama. It's like he's still keeping it up that he's the one that killed Astra. I'm curious to how long that's going to be able to go. What they could mine from that, possibly.
Well, she's already like, oh, you didn't have to kill her, so I have to stay away from you. You sure this isn't a CW show sometimes?
Oh, Jesus. Okay, you're aware that the shit you complain about as being CW stuff has happened on other shows on other television networks before, right?
So what?
You are aware.
That I'm gonna like it?
Why you gotta single out CW?
Cause CW is known for that crap that they with teenage angst.
Yeah, Elmer Networks has done that same crap.
Like what?
Like, oh my god, like Moody People, like Love Triangles.
You mentioned shows I never heard of.
Party of Five.
Yeah, I don't watch no shit like that.
Ally McBeal.
Yeah, come on now.
Friends. Friends did that shit.
That is the whitest show on television. Why would I watch Friends?
I'm pointing out an example. Night Court did it. Night Court did it.
Well, Night Court was cool.
Yes. Night Court, it was a cool show. I mean, yeah, Night Court's awesome. But, hey, I love News Radio, but even they, you know, kind of pulled that shit sometimes.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but anyway.
Ugh, Jesus, stop. Whatever. Oh, man, hey. Man, Leonardo DiCaprio just passed us, and he was vaping. That's a terrible habit.
Does he still have those bed marks on his ass?
I can't tell. He just walked past me so fast.
Let's see.
I couldn't tell.
But
yeah, Supergirl, just okay this week. It was okay.
Agent Carter, they've been doubling up on the episodes of Agent Carter the last few weeks.
Here's the thing: they moved up the release, they moved up the premiere date because they didn't want to be preempted by one week after the premiere be preempted by Obama's final State of the Union.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they already had a set date in mind for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s return. So it's like, and that's coming up soon. So we got to go.
This week is the last week for it, right?
Yes, because this Tuesday is the season 2 finale of Agent Carter.
You want to take over the explanation of this week's Agent Carter?
Agent Carter picked up on the events of stupid iPad. No. Alright. Sorry. Trying to have a two screen setup here. And whatnot. I did not love Archie Bunker, Stanley. That is a stereotypical thing to say of someone who lives in the South, and I'm offended, sir. I demand an apology.
Who doesn't like All in the Family?
Well, All in the Family was a good show, but the point is, like, Archie Bunker was an asshole.
No, but, you know, the credit you got to give Archie Bunker, he did change by the end.
Like, no, he did.
He started off, he was he was a terrible bigot.
Yeah, he was.
But
he,
by the end, he had changed so much.
No, that is very much true. That he even went on to be a policeman with Mr. Why am I suddenly blanking on In the Heat of the Night? They call me Mr. Tibbs. God damn it, Virgil Tibbs. God. By the way, watch In the Heat of the Night if you haven't. Both the show and both the TV show and the movie that was based on. It's great. Anyway. So this week it's all about the Zero Matter. Whitney Frost is going off her, is completely gone off her rocker, trying to get complete power, and Jason Wilkes turns on them. Jason Wilkes turns on Peggy and the crew when they try and save him. I believe he's being corrupt, because obviously he's being corrupted by the Zero Matter inside of him.
Now,
psychological manipulation on the part of Whitney.
Excuse me. Now, what they haven't explained yet is the Zero Matter.
Yes.
Is it whatever that creature is from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on this other planet trying to use them, or is it the stuff inside of them that's
alive? I think if that's the reveal, they're saving it for this Tuesday's finale.
Because I'm guessing by this week, by the time the show ends, like when it goes back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it'll all tie in to like one little piece of the puzzle. I don't know.
Well, it keeps going, because at the end of the first episode, she opens the Zero Matter rift, and Jason somehow gets sucked up being the chosen one, and sees him, says, like, why not me? Why not me? So they put together a gamma cannon, thanks to Howard Stark, and close it. Wilkes is brought back, but Jarvis is still kind of wanting to kill Whitney Frost for shooting his wife, who, by the way, Anna is recovered, but can't have children now. So, that's a bummer. I'd want to shoot someone that did that to my wife. So he does. But she survives. And they get kidnapped. Well, first knocked out. And then kidnapped. Why did I mention knocked out? Because the following episode opens with a big stage, big band musical number. Yes, that is a full dream sequence by Peggy Carter herself. And many people are asking, was that really needed? Here's my answer. Hell yes, because it was awesome. Look at that. That was fine production value. It was a nice song. Lovely dancing. Haley Atwell has a lovely voice. Man, screw you if you didn't like it. I loved it. More of it, please. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's that alien that we've already seen on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wanting a new body. And does not want a female body.
No, it's like, man, I want a man. That's what, I don't know why I think it's a redneck. That's just what I imagine.
And of course, now it's in Agent Ward's body, so.
Yeah, I think it's inhabited a body of Wilkes, who by the end of the episode, is like, I'm just going to go to full fucking mode. I'm going to kill everybody. Meanwhile, Agent Thompson, who I'll get to in a minute as being a weak link of this season, is like, you know, he's turning on Vernon. You know, the dad from that 70s show. Because, he was a dick. He was just using me.
Wait. Back up.
What?
Don't refer to him as the dad from that 70s show.
I'm sorry, Clarence Boddicker from
RoboCop.
So Clarence Boddicker from RoboCop gets killed. Is gonna get killed off. He's not dead by the end of this episode, but
bitches leave.
Bitches leave. No, bitches leave. There's a bunch of paparazzi around me. This is anyway. Yeah. So yeah, we're left on a cliffhanger. It's like Wilkes like unleashes his full form, like I guess a Zero Matter crack in his skin, and we're not too sure if the building's gonna blow up. Oh my god!
But is he dead?
No. They leave off before they could full. They leave.
Right, but for the previews, you don't see him in the previews at all. You see Whitney.
I believe they're intentionally keeping that secret.
Okay, well, we'll find out.
Yeah. So yeah, couple good episodes, not the best I would say of this pretty damn good season of television. But damn, I'm sick. I do not care about Thompson. I really don't care about Thompson.
We can't get into every show, but the last one we're going to get into is The Walking Dead.
Of course, because Rick finds Jesus.
Yes, Rick has come to Jesus finally.
Yes.
Daryl needed Jesus too in his life.
Rick and Daryl find Jesus, and they are saved by a very handsome man. That is not the actual Jesus Christ, but Jesus from The Walking Dead.
And the family unit has consummated their love for each other.
Yeah, and weirdly enough, our discussion of Walking Dead last week led to, where the hell is this taking place? What is time? Turns out, this episode takes 2 months after the previous episode.
Yeah, you figure some time. Because, you know, they start off, there's no... There was, what, a couple thousand bodies they had to probably get rid of? That wasn't happening in a day or two. I mean, there's a lot of bodies you got to bury and burn and chop up and make sure they don't come back. And, of course, you got to get the blood.
Yeah.
And you got to fix the walls.
You got to get rid of those bodies, too.
Now, one of the things about this episode that did not make sense was the old leader of Alexandria, Diana, who got infected earlier this season, is wandering around in the woods in zombie mode.
I thought she would have been like ripped apart by the horde of walkers.
It's not even that. Yeah, I mean that. It's possible they did not because she was already infected, which they could have left her alone. But the thing is,
she was okay.
She's in this. She's in the house.
Yeah.
And zombies everywhere, of course. They get rid of the zombie horde, luckily. How was she able to get out the house, get out of the town, and wander around the woods for months and months without nobody noticing her or the fact she got out in the first place? Why didn't she...
Or the fact that she looks pretty damn good. Like, no decay. Well, decrepitancy.
Everybody's zombie, you know, decay doesn't always manifest itself in the same way. I mean,
okay, fair enough. That is true. So that's zombie ignorance on my part, and I apologize to any zombie Americans.
And you know, Carl knew about her, but didn't do anything because he didn't think he was the one to do it. That her son should be the one to put her down. And the son found out about it, and he had to get up the courage to do that, and he finally did. And Michonne knew that Carl knew and asked him, why did you do it? And he was like, well, it wasn't for me to do it. It was for somebody who loved her. If I found you, I would put you down because I care for you. And Rick and care for her so much that they finally made love.
They got to fucking...
And I don't think that's going to be a continuous threat. I think they... Like, it was bound to happen. I mean, they're walking around, you know, taking showers around each other and low-fiving each other and everything. And they've been the closest, Rick and Michonne.
And you just know that The Walking Dead made a bunch of shippers on Tumblr very, very happy that night.
But I don't think that's going to be, you know, part of it. I don't think they're going to be writing that in all the time of them having love scenes or sleeping together. It's just, you know what's happening, and I think they're going to move on from it. Of course, the last thing I want to do is make sweet, sweet love and then laying there butt naked, have somebody stand over me like it's like some creepy bastard like Jesus did at the end.
Hey, Jesus likes to watch. Jesus watches us, watches over us.
You know, they're standing there naked, and he's like, "Oh, we got to talk." Well, you could have told me that, you know, a while ago. And then, of course, I don't know what kind of ninja skills this guy has.
He's Jesus.
Because the whole time he's messing with Daryl and Rick, they tied him up and left him on the side of the road. And yet somehow he managed to get untied and get on top of the roof of this truck that they were driving.
Again, he's Jesus.
Okay, and then he was locked. Wasn't he locked up when they brought him?
He's Jesus.
Okay.
I'm just going to keep that one. So, I want to see how far I can go with this.
All right.
But, no, overall, I thought this was a way stronger episode than last week. It's like a nice little character focus. Like, good. I
don't know if it was stronger than last week. I mean, nothing really happened other than them dealing with Jesus through most of the episode.
I mean, I'll admit, the Carl stuff, whatever. I could take or leave. The Carl stuff didn't really give too much a shit about that, him and Enid. But, again, I really liked this episode. I thought it was a nice little... A little slow burn. I liked it. What? Stanley asks, what skills do you guys have for the zombie apocalypse? I can hide really well. And I can steal shit. So, I have that. Surfer, what skills you got?
What skills I have as far as what?
Zombie apocalypse. That's what Stanley just asked us in the chat room.
Repopulating the earth.
Okay, that's fair enough. All right, there's your answer. So that's it for TV. We're done with TV.
All
right. So news. Let's get this. Should we just go right into news?
Yeah, but I'm trying to pick the right thing to start with.
May I lead?
No.
Okay.
I want to lead.
Fine.
I got two stories, and then I'll let you take over. First one is, I need $100 from you so I can buy me an ultimate Batman versus Superman ticket. I think it's $100.
Jesus, that stupid thing.
Yeah, Regal again is doing the ultimate ticket. They've done this in the past with Star Wars. They've done it with Spectre.
Wait.
They sell like 100 cards. You buy the card, and you can go in every day and watch Batman versus Superman for the entire run of the movie, which I don't know if who goes around buying these type of supercards.
And it's also premature, because you don't even know if you're going to like the movie enough to want to go back over and over and over again to see it. Like, someone shared that with me, because they know what a big James Bond fan I am. It's like, hey, I bet you're gonna do this. I'm like, I don't even know if the movie's good yet. I don't wanna spend $100 just to go see a movie I think I'll potentially be disappointed by. Spoilers, I was very disappointed by Spectre. So I didn't feel like spending $100 to go see it during its entire theatrical run. Cause fuck that. So I'm still praying.
Hey,
Ben,
listen, I'm not one that's not, I can watch a movie over and over, you know. It used to be easier back in the day when you could just, sit in the theater and watch it two or three times in a row. But I don't care about going back to a movie theater every day to see the same movie. I mean,
I agree. I want variety. I want to, you know, change that shit up.
Now, of course, I guess there's nothing stopping you once you have that ticket to go into other theaters instead. But
I think, yeah, wait, okay, yeah, it's like you could just buy the ultimate ticket and be like, hey, I'm here to see Batman v Superman, and I got my ultimate ticket, okay, and you show up conveniently when, like, say, the new Divergent movie is showing. I'm just picking a random selection. I don't even care about Divergent, but still, you can go in that and see that instead, because your ticket's already paid for. Because you got the ultimate ticket. Shit. Yeah. Wait, did we just fully on the air teach people a way to game the system at Regal Cinemas?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, hey, what were we talking about? I don't remember. Now, I got a bad memory.
Now, here's the other story I wanted to lead with.
Yeah?
See, I knew this was going to happen. You and these other Deadpool fans, you know, going out there making this movie this mega hit. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's fucking Deadpool fans. And everybody wants to dress like Deadpool and look like Deadpool and be Deadpool. And now we got Deadpool imposters knocking off banks.
Hey, hashtag not all Deadpool fans, okay? Not all Deadpool
There's
fans.
There's been a few robberies where people have shown up in Deadpool masks to rob banks. One happened.
There's like one.
No, like, more than one.
Well, yeah, show me more than one. Show me more than the one we're about to talk about.
Okay, one happened in South Point, Ohio.
Oh, okay. Wait. Okay, now I'm reading it in the same story. Yeah, okay, yeah. People are dressing like Deadpool and knocking over banks. Yeah. Don't ruin Deadpool, people.
And trying to steal from ATM machines. This is what happens when you take a guy that was created as a villain and try to make him into a hero.
He's more an anti-hero, so I'm just saying. So, but yeah, a white man between 5'9", 5'11", roughly around 200 pounds, put on a Deadpool mask and robbed the U.S. bank in South Point, Ohio, on the afternoon of Friday, February 27th, and made off of like $2,000, running a marathon-like run of apparently out in guess what state I'm about to mention.
I'm listening. Arkansas.
No. Jersey. Wow, really?
Jersey. You said guess what state? I just
all right.
Guess.
All right, just come on. One more guess.
Florida.
Of course it's Florida. Of course it was Florida, because back early in January, two Florida men had a had a great idea to steal an ATM from a Coca gas station wearing face covering Deadpool zip up hoodies.
What is in the water down there in Florida that such crazy shit go on all the time?
We've been asking that ever since that bath salt story. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that story of the man getting high on bath salts and zombie eating that dude's face, that has opened up a whole floodgate of Florida crazy. Sure, there were crazy stories coming out of Florida before that, but that bath salt face eating, that just opened a floodgate.
It's always Florida. It is. And you know, if you're a fan from Florida, we love you. We pray for you.
We are appreciative of we are very appreciative of your support. But fuck Florida. God damn.
We pray that you get out of Florida safe and sound one day.
Ugh.
We're talking to you, Double A.
Yeah. All right. So, hey. Razzie Awards were last night. Why do I bring this up? Because rightfully so, Fucktastic Four won a whole bunch of awards.
You had to steal the Razzies from me. Well, go ahead.
Sorry.
You had to steal the Razzies. Go ahead. Go ahead. Talk about the Razzies. Right.
Well, Fantastic Four won the following awards. It tied Worst Picture with 50 Shades of Grey, Worst Director for Josh Trank, Worst Prequel, Remake, Ripoff, or Sequel, and that was about it.
And the Razzies took place last night, right?
Yes.
Last night.
Of course, in Los Angeles, the Palace Theater.
And it's for the worst movies of the year. It's kind of a joke award. But sometimes people go and collect their rewards. Halle Berry's done it in the past. And Sandra Bullock. But they've done it when they also knew they was about to get an Oscar. So they didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Now,
Sandra Bullock, did Halle Berry, Halle Berry won accepted the Razzie after she won the Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra Bullock accepted her Razzie for All About Steve the night before she won the Oscar for The Blind Side.
Yeah, so everything was 50 Shades or Fantastic Four. Except for Worst Supporting Actress, which is Katie Kuku Sweeting. She's dropping the Sweeting because she's getting divorced. For Alvin and the Chipmunks and The Wedding Ringer. I like The Wedding Ringer. I thought that was funny, so I don't know why.
I didn't see it.
I mean, it's not a great movie, but it was funny, and I found it humorous.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Explain, what is this Razzie Redeemer Award?
Oh, the Razzie Redeemer Award is a recent award for where they nominate past, it started last year, and it's an award presented to a past Razzie Award nominee or winner who crossed into more appreciative works of film. Like, it's a redemption. Like,
so they were terrible, but now they did something worth.
Yes. Like Ben Affleck won it last year. He was nominated for winning the Razzie for Geely, but won because of Argo and Gone Girl. Another nominees was Jennifer Aniston for being a four-time nominee to getting nominated for Cake. Mike Myers for Love Guru for, you know, going on to direct Superman, just Legend of Shep Gordon, so on and so on. Last night, Sylvester Stallone won. Let's just put it out there. Sylvester Stallone has been nominated a fuck ton of times for Razzie Awards. He's been redeemed thanks to Creed, especially particularly his Academy Award nomination tonight.
Now they had two worst pitches, right? As far as it was Fantastic Four and 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, it was a tie. So
I can't see how Fantastic Four is worse than Pixels or Jupiter Ascending.
Well, I ain't seeing Pixels, so. Thirdly, man, Jupiter Ascending was a blast. Seriously, guys, get drunk, watch that movie. It's a lot of fun.
It's not a lot of fun. Don't lie to these people.
Okay, like okay. Maybe not sober, but if you've had a few, it's pretty good.
No.
It's great. Come on, man. Come on.
No. That's bullshit. And Eddie Redmayne. They should have took his award from him for doing that shit.
Oh, hey, he could win again tonight. Oh, speaking of Eddie Redmayne, he did win Worst Supporting Actor for Jupiter Ascending, and he could win another Oscar tonight.
I don't think so.
Oh man, wow.
You know he's going to Leo, so.
Sorry, speaking of Best Actor nominees, man, Michael Fassbender just walked past me.
We don't like Michael Fassbender.
Why don't we like Michael Fassbender?
Because he's a slave-owning meanie, that's why.
You've got to separate reality, man.
No, he was cruel in 12 Years a Slave, and he will never be forgiven. Never.
Come on, man. It's
easy for you to say. It wasn't your ancestors. It was my ancestors, okay? So I don't want to hear it.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on to the big casting news of the week. Iron Fist. Yes, the last remaining defender has been cast, and it's Finn Jones from Sir Loras Tyrell from Game of Thrones will be playing Danny Rand.
Is it like once you do Game of Thrones, your career is set. It seems like it's like who from Game of Thrones doesn't work after that.
Yeah, I mean, well, even in between, because it's like, you know that shooting schedule, and, you know, it's a yearly thing, so it's like, after Game of Thrones, you can go knock out a whole bunch of different projects, because, not just because, you know, if you're on Game of Thrones, you must be pretty damn good, but Game of Thrones is a series that carries weight.
So, was he a Brit?
Of course he is.
Just taking all our superheroes from us.
He's from England.
Bastards.
He's from England.
Why are they taking all the superhero roles, okay?
Let's not get into this again.
I'm not a Game of Thrones watcher, so I don't know much about him, but I trust
I can tell you, he's a really damn good actor.
I trust Marvel as far as the casting. I mean, they have not had cast anybody yet in these Netflix shows.
Yeah, he's a really good actor.
For us to say, oh, no, they dropped the ball on this.
Yeah, no, I feel really good. Of course, you know, with the character Iron Fist, people were accusing us, like, oh, why another white guy, whitewashing. Except, this is not a case of whitewashing. Whitewashing would be if, like, say, Peter Parker was actually black in the Spider-Man comics, and they casted a white guy. Okay? Danny Rand has always been a white man. And here's the thing. People have, of course, been asking for an Asian-American Iron Fist. And I'm not totally against that. Because here's the thing. You can have an Asian-American Iron Fist. Like, have it someone who is of Asian descent, but born in America, and, you know, possibly, you know, fairly removed from his culture. Where he would go on the same journey that Danny Rand does in the comics and learn about the culture. Because, see, with Danny Rand, it is very much his. He learned to be a better person. He was a bit of a snotty brat. Because, again, he came from a family of money. But, you know, once his father, Wendell, and, of course, mother, Danielle, you know, that, of course, are screwed over by Howard Meacham. On an exposition to go find Kun Lin, you know, he learns the ways of the Iron Fist and under the tutelage of Li Kong, and of course, not only learns how to be a better person, but enlightens himself via Asian philosophy, thus creating a bridge between the two cultures, the cultures he's from, and the culture he's learning. Why do you gotta be disgusting, Sam? Yes, it's by the guy who takes it in the butt in Game of Thrones, you nasty pervert. Anyway, as I was saying, Danny Rand, via his learning and redemption, created a bridge between the culture he was born in and the culture he studied. That's a great thing about the character. Now, yes, the mighty whitey trope. This is the white man here to save us. That's a terrible thing. But again, even the Iron Fist comics have acknowledged this. The 2006 series, The Immortal Iron Fist, by Ed Brubaker,
that's right.
Yeah, and Matt Fraction, along with a host of other creators, actually took a look at this and subverted that trope and the Iron Fist mythology itself in a fantastic way. Now I will say, on principle, I recommend this book because it's great. It's maybe really just the best Iron Fist book. It's fantastic. I absolutely love it. But it also went into how Danny Rand is not the only Iron Fist or Iron Weapon. The Iron Fist is a title, but Danny Rand, of course, being the most notable one. There's a whole bunch of Iron Weapons. You know, there's Orson Randall, Wheeling Bang. There's a whole bunch of other Iron Fists, which I think the show could go into, if that's possible. There's also Wu Shi and Bei Bang Wen. Okay, I did get that right. There are a bunch of different Iron Weapons, and I think the show could possibly go into that, although maybe like a second season sort of thing. Who knows?
Now, if they want to do an Asian Netflix show, then do Shang-Chi. Would love to see Shang-Chi realized in the Netflix. Master of Kung Fu.
Yeah, I get. Wei Sing Rand. That's the youngest Iron Fist. And that's a future one. Anyway, yeah, again, I highly recommend reading The Immortal Iron Fist so you can get a good feel of that. Also, maybe some of the original Luke Cage, Power Man, Iron Fist, because that's awesome. And also, what's got to be really important. I trust Marvel's casting, so I got to imagine that Mike Coulter and Finn Jones have got to have amazing chemistry to have auditioned together to be Luke Cage and Danny Rand. So I'm pumped. I'm excited. I honestly still like this acting choice. He's a very good actor. Very capable.
And we got to see who else is cast for the show. You know, not just...
not just Danny. Steel Serpent could possibly be our first villain. And just plenty of other people. Again, we could even see Bay Bang Wen. Who knows? They could look into the other Iron Fist / Iron Weapons. So, again, I recommend that series a lot. Again, the whole series is collected over like two whole collections, I think. Oh, yeah, The Immortal Iron Fist, the complete collection, volume 1 and 2, collects everything. All the annuals, short stories, one-shots, whatever. Get it. It's really good.
Okay, guess what? Breaking news.
What?
Million moms is complaining that Fox's Lucifer is irresistible to women. They don't like that. The character is irresistible to women. So,
well, if they're feeling irresistible, they can feed that hunger by going to the fine cuisine dining of Olive Garden, our sponsor here on the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show.
And we had another sponsor too. Oh, it was a K's Jewelers, isn't it? Right?
K's Jewelers.
Yeah. Any. Anybody that's protested by Million Moms, we support. So
yes, thank you, 1 Million Moms, for our slowly but surely incoming revenue stream. Now here's something I didn't see up until now: Fox is moving Gambit. That ain't happening this year.
Well, it's kind of
obvious, yes, given production problems, but
it's not even that they have any. The movie was scheduled for what? November, right?
October.
So they haven't even started filming it yet.
Yeah, it was going to be released on my girlfriend's birthday, and Gambit is her favorite X-Man, and I was going to be the best boyfriend ever, make a date night, take her out to the movie, be romantic and shit. Now I got to think of something else, so thank you, Fox.
If they haven't started filming yet. The movie would have been shit by the time it would have came in October. I mean, you gotta at least film for what? 4 months?
Well, yeah, something for maybe 6 even.
And then you gotta spend a good amount of time to put
in post-production.
Good special effects.
Of course. But also with the news that Gambit's being moved around, Fox has announced 2 as of yet named Marvel projects that are coming to theaters on October 6, 2017, and January 12, 2018. Speculation, of course, being one of those release dates could be Gambit's. So, who knows? So, that was some breaking news as well.
No, I've been posted that.
Why is the Hulk toy the Avengers dildo collection? Yeah, I've seen these.
What are you talking about?
Look at the link. Look at the link. Iron posted.
Okay. Hold on. You could call in once in a while. We'd like to talk to you. Oh yeah.
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 So let's look at these Avengers dildos and examine them thoroughly.
Okay. Patriotic. Sleek.
Yeah. Nice design.
Yeah.
It looks like it'll feel good to grab it around the shaft. It feels real nice.
I don't know, but yeah. See, now you're going a little too far. is that some kind of egg or something? Or something?
For what? For Black Widow?
Yes.
Oh, that's a discreet vibrator. Like, right. Okay, it's like those vibrating cans.
You wear it down there. And
you can put like a woman could put these at the front of her panties and maybe like a remote control the frequency.
But shouldn't they have
and setting of the vibration?
Shouldn't the Black Widow one should have been something for men to use? I'm just saying. I mean, like.
I mean, hey, if you and the Hulk, of course. Giant fucking dick. and looks to be circumcised.
It looks kind of it's circumcised.
That's what I just said, circumcised.
It looks normal size to me. I mean, you know.
And of course, you
looks
know.
Like what I look at when I wake up in the morning. I mean, what's so big about? Never mind.
And anyway. Of course, Hawkeye hits just the right spot. Wink.
Okay, enough of this. I don't like mixing my sex and my comic books. Okay, I make it a rule not to do that. So.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
All right. So we talked about Deadpool. You know, Deadpool's a big successful movie.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's... Fuck you. Team Deadpool! But, of course, some people are thinking the wrong lessons are gonna be learned from Deadpool. Such as what James Gunn poses, like, R-rated everything now. R. And it seems like Batman v Superman is kind of proving him right. Since rumors are circulating that there is a director's cut of Batman v Superman.
Yeah, it's
that
rumor. It is gonna be. Version.
There will be a director's cut of Batman v Superman, and rumors are swirling that the MPAA, because they're always such a reliable source of film ratings, hint, they're really not.
I'm going to explain to you what I think in a second. Go ahead.
Is being R-rated. That it's being rated R. So I guess Superman will bleed, you know, like, a lot, since Superman, you know, since it's like, oh, do you tell me, do you bleed? And it will be available on Blu-ray. So, yeah, someone on our Facebook page did post on the comment, the wrong lessons from Deadpool are already, you know, already being shown. And I agree. I'm sorry, look, you already got people excited. You already got some people excited because it's a Batman Superman movie. You don't need to do this dick tickling to people like, oh, but what if we have more blood? Maybe maybe some naughty sex.
Okay, now let me explain to you what's really going on, okay? There is probably going to be an extended version of this movie regardless, okay?
It's already going to be a long fucking movie.
Right, and knowing Zack Snyder, he filmed a long movie. They had to cut it down for time, and so the scenes is going to be on the Blu-ray. Now, since they think everybody wants R-rated movies, I think that them saying that there's going to be an R-rated version to this movie is kind of like bullshit. I don't think anything that's going to be in this movie is really going to make it an R rating. They're just stating it that it is so it can get people excited. But they were going to put out an extended version of this movie anyway.
Yeah, again, they're trying to tickle your dick by thinking, ooh, it's R-rated. That's naughty. That's not going to be for the little kids. Fuck off. This is exactly what James Gunn was talking. This is exactly what James Gunn was talking about.
I saw something where they were saying like an Avengers was supposed to have been R-rated.
Again, the wrong lessons from Deadpool being learned.
Now, I don't know if the Avengers was supposed to be R-rated or it was
an R-rated version. I highly doubt it.
And I don't think Marvel is going to just start making everything RRR. I mean, even though they could do an R-rated Thanos movie, because if he's ripping out hearts and cracking skulls, that's one thing. Exactly. But I don't think they're going to go that route anyway.
Doubt it. But hey, speaking of Batman v Superman, the actor playing Doomsday has been revealed, and it is known voice actor Robin Atkin Downs, who posted out on Twitter, very proud to release it. I helped bring Doomsday to life in the upcoming Batman v Superman #DreamGigs. So. And of course, if you don't know Atkin Downs, you've heard him a lot. He's been on Regular Show, Ultimate Spider-Man, The Strain, Hulk and the Agents of Smash, Beware the Batman, Star Wars Clone Wars, Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
So Doomsday's going to talk.
Yes. And hold on. And a whole bunch of other.
Doomsday's not supposed to talk.
Well, okay, look, okay, hold on. It doesn't confirm. The tweet did not confirm if he provided Doomsday with a voice or was just a motion capture.
Mm-hmm.
So, or maybe both. We don't know. So, and speaking of Deadpool and, you know, in its relation to how I started with this string of Batman v Superman is, Domino could be coming to the sequel.
Well, okay. If you're bringing in Cable, they're bringing in Domino.
And I'm happy because, yeah.
You might as well just bring in most of X-Force. So.
Yeah, man, I love Deadpool and Domino together. Then again, I love the character of Domino just on her own. She is awesome.
I don't know. A lot of people don't care for Domino. I mean,
what? I love her. I love Domino. She's badass.
You know, I'm wondering when Domino's going to deliver that hot pizza from the oven car like they're supposed to. That's what I want to know.
Hey! Don't rush them. Again, if you don't get there in 30 minutes, you get a free pizza. So what are you complaining about?
No, I've never gotten a free pizza from Domino's.
Maybe you need to do some road construction to make that happen.
I don't think they do that in the city.
Because
They can't listen. Domino's can't guarantee 30-minute delivery in a city the size of Philadelphia. I mean, they just can't.
How will you know? Well, hey, maybe keep.
Hey, Jordan, Domino's wouldn't deliver pizza to my neighborhood. For
why
years,
not?
Because I live in a black neighborhood. That's why.
So, okay.
Like they would purposely not deliver pizzas in my neighborhood. And like it was a Domino's not too far from me. And you'd call them and ask them to deliver, and they wouldn't do it.
Well, ain't that some shitty shit?
Yeah, I mean they don't do that shit now, but. Back in the day, yeah.
Of course, because they realize they want more money.
In fact, I lived in an area where there was like, I was surrounded by 3 Domino's, and none of them were delivered to me. So.
What? Well, let's get on some more casting news. Hey, you know an upcoming Riverdale show? It's getting big. We're getting news. KG Apa from Shortland Street, something I've never fucking heard of, is Archie. He's going to be playing Archie, who is described as an intense, conflicted teen, a boyish high school sophomore who got pumped up over the summer working construction, is now juggling the interests of several girls, as well as trying to balance his passion for writing and performing music against the wishes of his father and his football coach. But, you know, who's playing the dad? I'm glad you asked, random person who I just made up for the sake of this bit. Luke Perry is playing Archie's dad, Fred Andrews, the easygoing owner of the family construction company who hopes Archie will take over the family business.
Do you think we're going to get the song? Doing this TV show.
What song?
Sugar, sugar.
Then I think that's a given.
Honey.
I think that's a big given. And speaking of casting, Josie of Josie and the Pussycats has been casted. Ashley Murray is playing Josie McCoy, leader of the titular Josie and the Pussycats, described as a gorgeous, snooty, and ambitious girl who is the lead singer for the popular band Josie and the Pussycats. She has zero interest in recording any songs written by fellow teen Archie.
Now, they made Josie in this version black, right?
Yes, it is a actress of color playing Josie. So, hey! Ignorant dumbasses who are upset a black woman's playing a role that, you know, it's usually played by, you know, it's usually white. Fuck off. I do not care what you think, you dumbass. I do not give a shit.
Well, they cast Veronica, too.
Yeah, I was going to get to that, but that's not in this article. I'm going to finish that and move on to that. Madeline Pitch has been casted as Cheryl Blossom, who, by the way, that's my pick. Betty, Veronica, no. Give me Cheryl Blossom.
I never heard of Sherry Blossom. That,
She's a redhead. She is described as a rich, entitled, and never accountable. A manipulative, mean girl who kills with kindness. She recently lost her twin brother in a mysterious accident. Mm-hmm. Now, that is true in Archie Comics, which I can't believe I actually noticed, because I never given a shit about Archie before, but Afterlife from Archie and a recent book by Mark Waid have been like, damn, I'm actually really, really interested. But, yeah. So they joined the recently casted Lily Reinhart as Betty Cooper and Cole Sprouse as Jughead Jones. And as you mentioned, but which was in a completely separate article, Veronica has been casted. So we have our infamous love triangle. Veronica Lodge will be played by Camila Mendes, who this is her first major role in any film or TV project.
So she is Hispanic, and she's playing Veronica.
Yes.
So Archie's getting an upgrade.
Oh, very much so. And again, I'm recommending people read Archie. I've never been against Archie Comics. I saw their place, and I was like, it's fine. It's not for me, but it's fine. I see Archie's place.
It has been around for a very long time, and yet it's the only company that concentrate on one type of book, which is Archie books.
Well, they have an imprint. They do other books. Like they have the license for Sonic the Hedgehog comic books. They also do some darker stuff. Like, they have a spinoff book from Afterlife of Archie set within that, pocket universe and whatnot, of Sabrina Spellman. And, of course, Sabrina Spellman's also in the main Archie universe, but this is more of a Lovecraftian sort of deep, dark horror take on Sabrina from Afterlife of Archie. And, again, they're even doing some superhero books, like the Black Hood and the Shield on a Dark Circle imprint within Archie Comics. Now, again, Afterlife of Archie is an Archie zombie book. I kept hearing was great. It was honestly really good. Mm-hmm. So I got the first trade during South by Southwest for absolutely nothing, and I read it. It's great. And, of course, I'm thinking, this is crazy. I read Archie versus Predator. That's batshit insane, but also really fun. And now the current Archie books. Archie by Mark Waid. Really good.
We're getting off track.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying. It's like it's crazy how much I actually care about Archie. And now I'm really looking forward to the Archie TV show, Riverdale.
I'll give it a chance, And see, hopefully, it is a CW show, so.
What's your bias against, what do you got against CW, man?
We've already been through what I just said about CW and how they get into this whole teenage romance and angst, and give me another story.
All right, let's go to Netflix. You want to go to Netflix? Let's go to Netflix.
What's your password?
It's called Nice Fucking Try. _82, fuck off. Daredevil released its second trailer, this time more focused on Elektra, played by Elodie Young. And look, I already know Punisher's going to be pretty cool because John Bernthal, but I don't know nothing about Elodie Young. I'm liking what I'm seeing of Elektra. Elektra looks fierce, determined. Just everything I want out of this character. I'm liking. I'm loving it. It looks so fucking good.
What else has she been in?
Elodie Young has been in... Well, the most notable thing she's been in is G.I. Joe Retaliation.
She was Jinx.
I believe so. I'm going to look it up.
No, she was Jinx.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm seeing it. Yeah. She was Jinx. And... trying to look else what the heck? Oh wait, she was also in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Must have forgotten her. Oh, and well, earlier we mentioned Gods of Egypt. She was just in that this weekend.
Yeah, nobody gives a fuck about Godzilla.
Yeah, no, yeah, I don't give a shit. But anyway, so yeah, I'm loving what I'm seeing of Elodie Young. But most notable is that Stick, you know, shows up and mentions the hand.
Talk to the hand.
The hand. The hand is coming to Daredevil. I'm excited.
Talk to the hand.
Yes. Oh, you are not going to be able to contain my excitement. No, no one and nothing will. But speaking of Punisher, what did you think of the trailer? Like, did you see it?
Yes. It looked interesting, but I didn't know what was going on because everything seemed all dark. And yeah, it looks like the you know, he's going to be dealing with the hand more. I don't know where Electra falls in, whether she's showing up as somebody on the good side or bad side or in somewhere in between. I guess we'll find these things out.
Of course. And her past with Matthew Murdock as well.
Yeah, they went to college together. They've already established that in last season.
Yeah. And but speaking of Daredevil, we all knew there were rumors going about, like, they were already greenlighting a Punisher spinoff. Like, man, we love John Bernthal a lot. Let's give him his own show. I hate to break it to you. Not happening. That's not just me. That comes from the horse's mouth himself, Jeff Loeb.
I don't know if I
believe that. The head of Marvel's television.
I don't know if I believe that.
Listen.
Okay. It's possible that they haven't made the decision yet. And, you know, if the numbers are there, why would they not do a Punisher if it's feasible? I mean,
in a recent interview, this is what Jeff Loeb told Digital Source. Quote, "I think that's something that people are speculating on as opposed to something that's actually happening. It's certainly our hope that any of our characters will be embraced and people want to see more of them." And he even went on to talk about in regards to, like, even Jessica Jones, you know, and saying that maybe a Punisher spinoff is still on the card, saying, quote, "When they announced that Jessica Jones was getting a second season, every single report said it should come as a surprise to no one that Jessica Jones has received a second season order. I'm the guy going, well, it was a surprise to me. It isn't a given in television. The fact that we get to continue telling stories of these characters speaks a lot about the quality of storytelling and the acting and the writing. We are telling the best stories that we can, Netflix." And they seem to be responding to it. "I can tell you that this guy," speaking of Punisher, "horrible, tragic things happen, and we will see how he goes through that. The effect that the other characters have on him will push him in certain directions. I think once you see these characters collide, it's tremendously interesting and emotionally gripping as well. It's going to be a special season. If you thought last season of Daredevil was dark, this is going to be a whole new place." And he's absolutely right. Nothing's a given. We have, you know, something may sound like, oh, well, that's a no-brainer, but you gotta see it succeed first. You gotta give it that push. You gotta be a mama bird and, you know, push your baby out of the nest to see if it's gonna fly.
Yeah. Just
yeah. Exactly. Speaking of Marvel Television, Most Wanted, the description of the spinoff series of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finally came out. Describing the show as, "Since Marvel's Most Wanted centers on Bobby Morse and Lance Hunter of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., two ex-spies and ex-spouses who are on the run with no friends, no S.H.I.E.L.D., and a long list of enemies looking to claim a bounty on their heads. Able to trust no one but each other, Bobby and Hunter form an uneasy alliance with Dominic Fortune, a rogue adventurer with a wealth of resources and even more adversaries, who agrees to protect them so long as they help him with his own agenda. These two heroes will need help. Will help anyone in need, all while trying to uncover the conspiracy that put their own lives in jeopardy."
Yeah, how are they going to get separated from S.H.I.E.L.D. in the first place?
I believe that's hinted at with the "while trying to uncover the conspiracy that put their own lives in danger." Also, I don't know.
You don't know nothing.
I'm sorry, do you want me to be a psychic?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, I ain't got a mutant gene, buddy. So, you're shit out of luck. going on to TV. DC's Powerless, the upcoming workplace sitcom set within the DC universe. That takes place at one of the worst insurance companies in America. That it has casted, the following people. A couple of them, you know, nerd royalty. Hold on. Sorry, need to wet my throat. Community's Danny Pudi is playing Teddy, the best work friend of Vanessa Hudson's character. I believe that would be Vanessa Hudson. Vanessa Hudgens. Vanessa Hudson's character. He's described as spending his days creating time-wasting pranks as a way to make their office the least super place on Earth and just a little less unsuper. Alan Tudyk will be playing Hudson's boss, Dell, who was promoted just because he's the boss's son. He's described as a power-mad, disastrous dictator of a boss and a rich, overeducated, globetrotting wastrel. Christina Kirk from the highly underrated NBC rom-com A to Z has been casted as Jackie, a fan of superheroes, specifically Beefcake Super Guys. She's also Dell's personal assistant, who will begin buckling under his reasonable and impossible demands. Hutchins, of course, is playing Emily Locke, an insurance claims adjuster who loves her job because she gets to help people and likes to fly under the radar just to get her work done. Finds herself increasingly exacerbated by the disruptive antics of various superheroes that live in the city. You like this casting? I like it.
Yeah, I mean they're going with some well known cast members that people like in this genre, and the question is, can they pull off the show? Can it go mainstream? Will people care? Will it translate?
Well, it has gotten a pilot order, so.
Of course. I'm just saying, will the masses accept this type of show?
I hope they do, because I think this sounds interesting. And plus, if not, you know, then there's Marvel's damage control.
And will NBC give it a chance to grow an audience?
I'd hope so.
Yeah, hoping is one.
But then again, it's NBC, so who the fuck knows?
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, they might want massive numbers right away, and you know.
I mean, I'm still not bitter about Hannibal. Actually, I'm not. Hannibal ended in a great way. It had like a fantastic ending. So, you know what? Yeah. But still.
Yeah, don't cry over Hannibal. Hannibal had a run, so.
I agree. That's just me more so speak. I know. NBC gave Hannibal a chance. It did. Okay, you know what I'm pissed about? A to Z, the show I just mentioned. That was a really good show. It was a really fun, really sweet, endearing little romantic comedy. That was cool to watch. Fuck you, NBC. You should have kept that show on. I'm bitter about. Eat a dick. What is this, Stan? This superhero movie on YouTube is based on Jordan Combs. Real life. Really? The superhero that wears a panties over his head. You did this to me in private over the week, Stanley. It's still not funny. That's fucking stupid and weird.
Stanley's been smoking too much.
I'm afraid Stanley's on the drugs.
He wants to call in next week and talk indie comics.
Well, you know, he might be able to do that because someone's going to be in charge.
He could call in anytime he wants if you want to talk indie comics.
I can talk indie comics for hours. Stanley, you can call in whenever the hell you want. Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to find what Rick and Daryl found. You need Jesus.
You need Jesus.
You know what? I think he might need Satan. I mean,
Lucifer.
Yeah. Oh shit! We forgot to talk about that.
I just did. Well, I mentioned about the Million Miles. Lucifer.
I meant the TV show.
Oh well, the reason why I haven't been bringing up Lucifer, not that it's been bad, it's just that
this is uninteresting.
But there's no, like, I have not to this point seen a developing storyline to latch on to yet, other than that the angels telling him you need to go back to hell, you need to go back to hell, and he's changing because he's been on Earth and. Like we
you
have
are
not,
growing a heart.
We have not seen any of the consequences of him not being in hell. Like, no one's escaped. No demons or convicted killers or anything like that. So, and, you know, right now he's more interested in trying to screw the cop, that because for some reason his charms don't work on her, and then. She still can't realize. She still doesn't want to realize that he is actually Lucifer. It's like he's getting shot, and she can't figure it out, and she won't accept it. She's even seen him change into a demon look. And
he is the Lord of Hell. Come on.
So.
Yeah, I'm just. Lucifer isn't a bad show. It's just an uninteresting show. I'm not feeling compelled to keep watching.
Excuse me.
I'm just not feeling that compelled.
Now, we mentioned Walking Dead earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's waiting on the arrival of Negan.
Negan!
The current villain of the books.
I would say
apparently Negan curses a lot, so
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
So is he gonna curse a lot in the TV show?
Well, this has been addressed. And yes, Negan does like to swear up a goddamn fucking storm. I mean, shit. But series creator and executive producer Robert Kirkman acknowledged the network's limitations. He spoke to Entertainment Weekly saying, "There are certain words that try as I might, we are not allowed to say on AMC. And those are certain words that Negan likes to say." And so they've handled this. Negan's introduction is being filmed multiple ways. Kirkman goes on to say, "So those words are going to be filmed, and people are going to be able to get those words. But there are definitely some broadcast limitations that we're going to have to deal with." Kirkman added, noting the extras on the Blu-ray will be extra special. And even showrunner and executive producer Scott Gimbel, you know, came in and said they're working on it, confirming, like, they have the material two ways right now. One way or another, I want people to see full Octane Negan. Will I be able to shoot every scene like that? Probably not. But to tell you the truth, I think we will get as close to the version of full Octane Negan as we can through some version of the show or another. So we might be getting towards Negan. And look, AMC's let Breaking Bad and Mad Men used the F word. It was just like dropped in the audio. Like, what the f- are you talking about? You know, something like that. But they've been uncensored on their DVD and Blu-ray releases. So, hey, we might be getting full Negan. Who the fuck knows?
You know, this is a family show, so you need to watch the language.
That's not part of my contract.
It is. Son of a bitch. Anyway.
Can't eat shit.
Now you're getting docked.
But what? You don't pay me anything.
Yeah, well, you're about to get your ass whipped. You talk more shit to me.
You bastard.
Remember, I'm bigger than you, okay?
Yeah, whatever.
How tall are you?
I'm actually about 5'8".
See, I'm 6 foot, so I will whip your ass if you.
Oh yeah, you got 2 inches on me.
You just said you was 5'8".
Yeah.
How's that 2 inches?
Two, Okay. Oh, that's right. Okay, so I just did. Okay, so I just had math fart. I did not math right. So.
You know Marvel Comics, right? You're a Marvel fan. We all Marvel.
Yeah, I love Marvel Comics. Well, pretty good.
It wasn't always called Marvel Comics.
That's right. They were Timely Comics.
And so Marvel was trotting out the Timely imprint for some of their books. Kind of late on that, but Timely started off in the 40s. And they're going to be releasing some 72-page installments of books at $3 each. There's going to be like a Timely Comics Iron Man, Avengers, Inhumans, Carnage, Daredevil, Doctor Strange, Moon Girl,
yeah,
New Avengers, Scarlet Witch, Squadron Supreme, Awesome Hawk.
Totally Awesome Hawk.
Yeah, Uncanny Inhumans, Venom, Space Knight, Web Warriors.
Yeah,
all kinds of Timely books.
And the reason for this, in releasing these 72-page installments at a retail price of $3 in June, is that it's geared towards catching up new and lapsed readers on several of the titles in all new, all different Marvel.
So they're basically reprinting number one issues.
But these are like 72 pages. There's going to be some extras in there.
Putting a Timely imprint on there.
And again, increased page count. So there's probably a lot. So there might be some more material.
Well, it's the first three issues of each book.
Oh. What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, right. Okay, so each of these are, okay, yeah, 72 pages. Each book contains the first three. Okay, yeah, all right. Oh, I misread that. So, yeah. So, hey. Hey, some of these books I'd really recommend to some people, like Doctor Strange.
Oh, do you know there's a...
And Invincible Iron Man.
Did you know there's a comic book convention going on this Saturday?
Where?
Next Saturday. At your local comic book shop.
What, Excalibur?
Well, let me see if I can find this real quick.
Yeah, please tell me what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, go to the next story and I'll find this real quick.
Zora doesn't know, answers is what. Okay, that, you know what, Stanley? That's a good burn in the comments. That's a good burn.
What'd he say?
I'm not going to say it on air.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, but that's a pretty good burn. Ah, fuck, I ain't ashamed. Jordan doesn't know his inches. That's why he boasts girls online his dick that he's big as about 3 inches. That's a good one. That's a good one, Stanley. Hey, I can laugh at myself. You can't laugh at yourself. What can you laugh at?
Sorry for the yawning.
But, fuck Shannara Chronicles. I ain't watching that shit now. I'm kidding. Hey, if anyone's familiar, so we mentioned crossovers earlier. Flash and Supergirl, they're going to be crossing over. We now know who the villains in that are going to be when Flash hops Earths and comes on over to National City.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be helping Supergirl face off with Silver Banshee and Livewire.
So no Flash villain.
No. He's going over to National City.
Right. I'm saying there's no Flash villain in the crossover. Just Supergirl villain.
Yeah. Silver Banshee and Livewire. I like both of those villains.
We've seen Silver Banshee. We haven't seen Livewire yet, right?
No. Yeah, we've seen Livewire.
I was saying they've used Livewire on the show.
Yeah, because that was episode 4.
Okay.
But Silver Banshee's, Saban Smith has been introduced. She just, in the recent episode, she just hasn't become Silver Banshee yet. So, yeah. Surfer?
Yes.
Hello?
She okay. Hasn't. Who's Silver Banshee again?
Saban Smith. Yeah. Oh, you mean the actress?
No, I mean, like, who was she on the show so far?
Saban Smith, the other secretary that Cat Grant just hired.
Oh, okay.
In the recent
okay.
episode.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, I was saying about the convention kickoff. This is in stores, one of a kind, this Saturday, March 5th at 12 noon. So, at your local comic book stores, they'll be broadcasting a con. I don't know which stores are going to be carrying. I guess you have to ask your store or look it up online. Special guests includes Marguerite Bennett, Jim Lee, Tyler Crook, Ryan North, Kelly Sue DeConnick, Jimmy Paul Monty, Mike Diotto, Matt Parkinson, Dan DiDio, Rick Remender, Nathan Fillion, Stephen Jepic, Matt Fraction, Randy Stradley, Christopher Hastings, Alan Tudyk, Matt Hawkins, James Tynick the fourth, Dan Jurgens, Snoky Young, Jackson Lincoln. I don't know if they're all going to come on at the same time as far as who shows up on what monitor in your comic book stores or who's going to be live in what stores. Let's see. So stores are going to have some exclusive stuff they can give away. Variant Power Man, Iron Fist, Variant Batman, Arkham Knight, Harley Quinn Variant, Star Wars, R4, G9 Figure Bank, Kickoff Jonesy One Variant. Let's see, stores. So you didn't know nothing about this, did you?
No.
I know, because it's like you wouldn't know unless you was in the comic book stores.
Well, and there's no comic book store near me. Like, yeah. I gotta go an hour out of my way to get to the nearest one.
It takes me about a half hour to get to a comic book store, so what's the...
Yeah, well...
What's the big deal?
It's out of town. Anyway, post that info on the What Are You Reading comic book show Facebook page.
Do I have to? Yeah, okay, I guess.
Yeah, you got to. So, what do you say? One more story and we get the hell out of here?
Hold up. You just asked me to share, so I gotta share it.
Okay.
Well, what story do you want to go with?
Let's end with a nice little positive story and whatnot. Miss Marvel. The current series starring Kamala Khan has won the Dwayne McDuffie Award for Diversity. Recently, at the 2016 Long Beach Comic Expo, there was held Dwayne McDuffie Awards. Some awards were given out, particularly the Dwayne McDuffie Award for Diversity in Comics in honor of Dwayne McDuffie, the legendary writer and producer who co-founded Milestone Media.
Yes.
Of course, giving us books like, and of course,
Static Shock,
Damage Control, Deathlock 2, Zombie, The Road to Hell, Hardware, just a whole bunch of other great books. By the way, if you ain't read that original Static Shock, what the hell's wrong with you? It's a great book. Miss Marvel won the award. The other nominees were Andre the Giant, Closer to Heaven from IDW, Fresh Romance from Rosie Press, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, also from Marvel, and Zanna from Emmett Comics.
Okay, I have a schedule for what this entails as far as this in-store convention. So there's an intro at 12 o'clock, 12:05 keynote from Jim Lee, 12:20 Dynamite Entertainment, 12:40 Valiant, 12:50 Kelly Sue DeConnick and Matt Fraction.
Kelly Sue.
105 DC Comics, 155 Scotty Young, 210 Boom Entertainment, 240 Rick Remender, 3 o'clock Chris Hastings, 310 Top Kyle, 330 Dan Jurgensen, 350 Jimmy Polamonte, 405 Dark Horse, 425 Ryan North, 440 Tudyk and Nathan Fillion Harrisman. I don't know what his name is. 5 o'clock Marvel Comics. 550 Zenith. You can sit in the comic book store all day and watch people talk to you over a screen if your comic book store is doing it.
All right. So, again, why don't we post that up in the What Are You Reading Facebook page?
I did.
All right, cool.
Your boy Colin Bunn, he's gonna be part of it.
That's awesome. Matt Colin Bunn, friend of the show, who we'd possibly like to have back at some point.
Yeah. So I think this is the second year they've done this, so I didn't know they did this last year, but... I guess I got nothing else to do but sit in the comic book store all day and watch people talk and not... In store, April 6th, Black Panther number 1. Can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that book. It looks great.
Okay. Sorry, did you get to the last story yet? Or?
Yeah, I already mentioned the Miss Marvel.
Yeah, she won the Diversity Awards.
Yeah, I figure we can save a couple of these stories for next week.
Well, no, you can run through them real quick. Just read the titles. Like the Archer swimsuit.
The Archer. I love Archer. That's known. I fucking love the shit out of that show. They released swimsuit pictures of their lovely female models of the show.
And you've been touching yourself ever since.
To help promote the upcoming seventh season, you do or do not get to predict what I'm doing behind closed doors, you pervert. Of course, there is the lovely Miss Lana Kane, Pam Bouvier, Cheryl Tunt. Oh, fine, lovely ladies.
Wait. Cheryl Hunt?
Tunt. Tunt. T-U-N-T. Tunt.
That sounds dirty.
You sound dirty.
I'm just saying, like, they gave her a dirty name.
Tunt. Don't be a... Shut up. But yes, Tunt. That's fun. Hey, speaking of Black Panther, fucking Martin Freeman's finally been revealed that he is playing Everett Ross in Civil War. Ross, of course, created during Christopher Priest and Kenny Martinez's run on Black Panther, but more so debuted in the Khazar series. He is...
Khazar,
yeah, right, I got that mixed up. He is, of course, a diplomat between Wakanda and the United States. Although he is often a key antagonist to T'Challa. Yeah. And apparently is being based off Chandler Bing, Matthew Perry's character from Friends.
It seems like they're throwing him in this book, but he probably may get more of a role in the Black Panther movie.
Yeah, Attack on Titan, and people behind Attack on Titan, and teaming up with Netflix to create a whole new show called Perfect Bones, a 12-episode series set in the future where scientists have attempted to create the perfect human in hopes of keeping peace in the universe. After nearly achieving their goal, through several children, the scientists send their new humans for further training, only for them to be kidnapped by an evil organization determined to use their powers to implement their own vision for a new world order.
Now, next thing I want to talk about real quick, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, they've started filming. One of the characters they're going to have in the Guardians 2 is they're going to reveal who Star-Lord dad is. Now, there's been talk about that his dad in the movie may not be the dad we know in the comic book.
Jason.
Now, in the comic book, that's who his dad is. He's a Spartan leader, and he's a world-class dick.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
But apparently he's going to be his dad in the cartoon, which...
Yep.
if he's going to be the dad in the cartoon, then I don't see why he wouldn't be the dad in the movie, because the cartoon is, you know, following up the movie, you know.
Partially inspired by it.
So, Jonathan Franks, who everybody knows from Star Trek The Next Generation as
Commander William Riker.
Cutting me off.
Sorry.
I know he's one of your boys, but yeah, he's going to voice the Star-Lord's father, Jay's son, which I can't see why they wouldn't use not Jonathan Franks, but have somebody play that father in the movies. I mean,
he'll be debuting in the March 13th episode, which is apparently the first chapter in a longer storyline that involves the investigation on Spartex and Star-Lord's disappearance.
And so we're down to the Star Trek story, right?
Yeah, that's a long fucking one.
Well,
but
basically, there's a lawsuit going on as far as, you know, whether or not people like a lot of people like to do fan made Star Trek properties.
Of course, they're inspired by it.
Right. And is it CBS soon?
Paramount,
yes.
Oh, well, Paramount's producing it, but yes, CBS is about to do a whole new Star Trek series done on their streaming service, CBS All Access, with Brian Fuller in command of it.
So, there's a suit going on whether or not people should be allowed to make fan-made Star Trek. Whether Star Trek as a property belongs to the fans or belongs to Paramount.
Yeah.
Like, these fan-made films don't make money. It's not like people make them and they try to make a buck off of them. And
I mean, look, these fans are obviously inspired by this. They want to show appreciation through creativity that they've been inspired by Star Trek or any other property. There's nothing wrong with that.
Who knows? You know, the way things are set up, usually corporations find a way of winning, so.
Yeah, I mean, this pertains, back to 2004 film, Prelude 2.
We got lawsuits of whether or not it's okay to build replicas of the Batmobile or not. And, you know, this stuff is just taxing. It's, I don't want to talk about it no more. I want to talk
That's
about...
That's all the stories. That's it.
I want to talk about the fine programming here on Rant EM Radio.
Let's talk about that, baby.
Come back tomorrow night at 11:30 p.m. for a new episode of Talk Brunch. Tuesday, come back for the rant at 8 p.m. followed by Freaks and Effing Geeks at 11. Come back Thursday for Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. and Friday at 9 p.m. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Saturday night, the wrestling call-in show with William Morgan. And last night, they had an interview with Alexander Buff Bagwell. Jordan, you asked him some questions, didn't you?
Yeah, I asked I asked Big Daddy Buff a couple questions.
So, yeah, that'd be available for download if you didn't listen to it last night.
Yeah, and I think you're forgetting something. There's something special happening across these shows next week.
Next week is the whole scramble. Basically, instead of people changing shows, it's basically, so for next week's show, instead of me being in the big boy's chair, I have to defer to the madness of Jordan Kyle, where he fucks up my baby. I just might call out sick next week.
No, I still need you. You got the recording shit. I can't afford all that.
So that still puts me in charge then.
No. I control content, which means
I'm still the comic book man in charge.
No. Because I get to choose what we're talking about. And if I choose if we're going to talk, so we may have a roundtable discussion. We may even have, a debate. Who the hell knows? I could make this an entire show about the DC Animated Universe.
Well, okay, then bring it. Bring something interesting to the table then.
And you know what? Maybe next week, just straight comic talk. Like, what can we recommend to readers? Like, what are we reading and whatnot?
That's going to be boring as hell from you. But anyway, yeah, so next week.
Oh, Scramble! Starting tomorrow on Talk Brunch.
Oh, so it starts tomorrow? Okay.
Yeah,
so,
it starts tomorrow on Talk Brunch.
So all the, so instead of Rick Darrow in charge, it'll be Mick Wrestling, and that'll drive Rick crazy because Rick is a, he's a controlling person. Don't tell nobody I said that. Cause, you know.
Oh, that's not, okay. No, I won't. I'm totally not texting him that right now.
Yeah, you don't let that.
Totally get out. Not. Totally did not hit send.
All right. So, you know what? I think we're gonna play some music to end the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We gotta head into the Academy Awards. That's starting soon. Man, so many people here. This is incredible.
And let's see. You know what song we're gonna play?
Maybe I will get a selfie with Idris Elba. That'll be fun.
Yeah, he just won the Spirit Award.
Yeah, for Beasts of No Nation. Yeah. Highly underrated movie, Academy.
I didn't watch it the last time I had Netflix. So I got to try to watch it next month when I get Netflix again. Yeah, that took on a couple awards. That and Spotlight.
Spotlight cleaned up. It won big last night.
But the two male acting awards went to the stars of Beast of No Nation, so.
Yeah, what's that tell you, Academy? Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Alright, so the song I'm going to play for us is from the Batman vs. Superman soundtrack title. Is She With You? From Hans Zimmer and Junkie XL.
Junkie XL, okay.
Yeah, I never heard of Junkie XL before.
Oh, he's a good composer.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying. And Hans Zimmer, all his shit sound the same if you ask me. But some people
by the way, you have heard Junkie XL. He did music for Deadpool.
No, he didn't do X Gonna Give It To You.
That's not what I'm talking about. I know.
All right, so we're going to say goodnight, everybody. So goodnight.
Goodnight, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for Jordan's Messed Up Show. Messed Up Adventures.
Great fucking show.
Peace.